to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flizzy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Cha-Cha on the Rocks by the John Buzan Trio, a release on Liberty from 1959, catalog number LRP3124. So I first heard about this artist, John Buzan Trio, through the Ultra Lounge collection of CDs. I started with releases in the late 1990s, and John Buzan Trio, there's a couple tracks on a couple different CDs, and he was among my favorites of the artists on the Ultra Lounge collection.
And so this album, I think, was actually one that was really hard to find. It's, I don't know, not a lot of copies. It's not something we've come across in stores, but it was actually one of the albums that was in my grandmother's record collection that she had from doing record reviews for a local Detroit newspaper.
And on the back of our album, it has a date in handwriting. And if you go back to our first episode, our Sven Asmussen album also has a date written on the back. And we didn't mention it on that first podcast, but in retrospect, we now believe that Sven Asmussen album is also one of the promotional albums from Steve's grandmother's collection. Exactly. And we have some mixed memory about how we acquired these two albums. I say that we brought this one back from when we went to Detroit to help clean out his grandparents' house. And Steve thinks that it was brought back to us by his parents at some point. Is that right?
Right. But either way, at the time, we didn't really have a functional turntable. The stylus on our existing turntable had broken. I think our cat had chewed it off or something.
Yeah. And long story, that turntable has like some super obscure head, like the whole cartridge stylus unit was its own special thing, so it was like a big production. Anyway, new turntable.
And so we didn't have a turntable at the time, and actually we're really getting into, or at least I was really getting into sort of computer-based music at the time, and so our vinyl albums were just kind of sitting on the side. And it wasn't until more recently, when we finally got a new turntable and our vinyl setup going back again, that we had a chance to listen to this album.
And it's awesome.
Would you like to tell us about the album cover, Flizzy?
Okay. So the album cover is quintessential 1950s. It has Cha-Cha on the Rocks written on the front with the John Buzan Trio. It's got a little placard on the bottom about it being in spectrasonic sound, the ultimate in high fidelity, whatever that means. And it has two very 1950s looking people, a lady in a tea-length dress and a gentleman in a blue suit with like the tuxedo stripe. They're dancing on what I believe to be a daiquiri. So it's in a little fluted glass. It's sort of greenish and on ice. So I'm pretty sure that's a daiquiri that they're dancing on. And then on the back, it has, of course, a list of the tracks, a few photos, each of the musicians featured on the album. And it has this little blurb on the back that's like, well, Cha-Cha, it's so awesome, right? We can all agree it's the best rhythm, but it's so inaccessible. People don't understand Spanish. What are you dancing to when you're dancing to the Cha-Cha? So fortunately, we have these American standards on this album. So now you can move your rug out of the way and dance Cha-Cha and understand what's going on.
Finally, I can understand the Cha-Cha.
Finally, we can understand Cha-Cha.
I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
All right, well, should we get right to our first clip?
Sure, what did you pick?
All right, this is my clip. It's called When It's Sleepy Time Down South.
Thank you.
Okay, so Felicity, what did you think of the song?
I love the saxophone intro to this song. It's a little bit cheesy, like really romantic, and then the cha-cha drops in. It's pretty sweet.
So there's a couple things about this album that I think are interesting. One, it's a jazz trio, but it sort of departs from the typical jazz trio formation in a couple ways. One, in that it's using, I think, like a Hammond organ instead of a typical piano. And two, that instead of having an acoustic bass, they decide to use a saxophone. I think that ends up making for a very interesting sound on this album.
Yeah, I think that for some magical reason, it makes a really full sound, even though there's only three musicians. It makes it sound really big.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually my other thing that I wanted to say about it, is that I don't know exactly what the timeline was with Phil Spector. I know that his Wall of Sound style came to prominence in like the 1960s, and this being a 1959 album, I don't really know sort of whether they came to this style independently or whether they borrowed it from him, but I think that they are definitely showing signs of sort of going in the same direction that Phil Spector did in the 60s, where, you know, you can see, and after the saxophone intro comes in, it's like the drums, the organ, and the saxophone, they'll all be playing the same melody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it does really give it that full sound, because they're like layering the different instruments, and so it all blends together in an interesting way, but, you know, it gives it that full sound, I think. So what can you tell us about John Bouzon?
Unfortunately, I could find pretty much nothing about John Bouzon, who is the organist, or Lauren Holding, who plays the saxophone, or Jack Russell, who plays the drums. So they did have a couple other albums. Inferno is the first one. And then after this album is Nowsville and the big band Box. So, yeah, I'm not really sure what happened to them after this. Certainly they could have gone on to be session musicians somewhere, but it doesn't seem like any of them had any notable solo recordings after this. But I can tell you a little bit about Liberty Records, which is the label this album is on. In the late 1950s and early 60s, Liberty is pretty well known for its easy listening releases. So you can find Henry Mancini, Martin Denny, Julie London, Steve Zenther, Spike Jones are all Liberty staples. And they also had some pop artists like Jan and Dean and Bobby V. So they're not like on the top tier, like maybe Capitol and CBS, ABC had some really popular recordings. But, you know, for easy listening fans, like late 50s, early 60s albums, if you see something on Liberty, it's probably something that you'll like. And the label was eventually bought out several times in the late 60s and early 70s. And then finally, all of the rights were acquired by Capitol in 1979. And that's important to know for this Ultra Lounge compilation. So Ultra Lounge was a compilation on CDs started in the late 1990s. And by 1998, Ultra Lounge had 25 different compilation CDs and also a lounge lifestyle store in California, which I don't know what it was called, but they had licensed the Ultra Lounge name to sell, I imagine, like barware and all kinds of kitschy things like that.
In the Ultra Lounge series, each album was sort of on a theme. So there was one that was called, what, Saxophonia or something?
Yeah, and
that was about saxophones.
Right.
And
Organs in Orbit is one. Mambo Fever. Like, yeah, they all had different themes. And they're all compilations from Capitol Records. So,
or Liberty, I guess.
Yeah, so once Capitol had bought out Liberty, you'll find songs from the Liberty collection on there too. And at the time, Capitol and also Rhino Records were both trying to recreate this same success an indie label had by re-releasing an Esquivel album on CD. And so they're trying to be like, oh, like somebody released some old space age pop. We could also release space age pop and make a ton of money. And I don't really know how well that worked out for them. Because by 2009, the last few albums were only released digitally, which maybe isn't like a huge surprise, because it's sort of the trend in music is that at some point things have switched over more to digital. So now there used to be like a whole website devoted to the Ultra Lounge albums. You could stream the music, and that seems to be defunct. You could probably dig that up on the Internet Archive somehow. But it definitely was like the Ultra Lounge thing, at least in my world, it was a thing for a while. It's the way I discovered a lot of music that we have since found on vinyl and are featuring on the podcast.
All right. Well, Felicity, do you want to tell us about your clip?
Sure. So my pick is on the intro to the B-side. It is I Can't Believe You're in Love with Me.
All right. Let's take a listen.
Is like quintessential American style cha-cha. It's got that like really sweet mid-tempo. It has the really rolling Hammond organ. It has some cool improv moments at the end. It has a little like call back to the William Tell overture randomly. It's just like full-on cha-cha kitsch. I love it so much.
Yeah, so in the way that you think of my musical tastes or interests being A&M, sort of when we got married, this I feel like is like a quintessential Flissy from before we got married. And this is the song I guess was actually included on one of the Ultra Lounge discs, right?
Yeah, this one's on Mambo Fever.
And I think that, yeah, I mean, this is just a really solid cha-cha. It's a really good song. Yeah, one thing you mentioned that I forgot to talk about for my clip was the interesting, yeah, sort of affectation that they have is working in little clips of other songs into their track. So, like this one you mentioned, it has like a little bit of William Tell overture. And at the end of my clip, it had this random Oh Susanna little bit. I'm not sure what the story with that is, but I think it's kind of interesting and sort of, I don't know, gives you a chuckle, I guess, when you listen to it.
Yeah, I think that's, I feel like that's a thing that happens in jazz and improv moments, that there's just little callbacks and references to other things. And I think in particular, this album is about, specifically about Americanizing cha-cha. And so having Sleepy Time Down South and having this shout out to Oh Susanna, one of the other songs on here, Stars Fell on Alabama. It's like very American and like very traditional, like folksy American, even turned into cha-cha.
So what do you think about this album, Flissy?
Oh my gosh, I love this album so much. It's the best. I hope that we can dig up those other John Buzan recordings at some point, because this is my jam. I love me some cha-cha, and like some really corny cha-cha is even better.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings about this, because definitely like the I Can't Believe You're in Love with Me is just a fantastic song. And I feel like it is, I guess, I don't know, sort of one of the staples of our collection. But at the same time, this whole album has sort of a feel about it that, you know, you can imagine yourself at some sort of, you know, hotel restaurant that's got some sort of like Polynesian tiki theme or whatever, and you're sitting there drinking your Mai Tai, and they have some sort of house musician that sort of looks like he might be some used car salesman or something. And he's just got like a little Casio there, and he's like, you know, playing some music, you know, like some classic lounge music or something on his Casio. And I think this whole album sort of has that kind of feel to it.
I totally want to go to this bar. It sounds like B-list Tonga room. Let's exactly. Go.
So, I don't know. I mean, Yeah, I don't know. I think that I have sort of mixed feelings about this album, in that it's like, I guess I just enjoy it, but try not to think too hard about it, because when I sort of, you know, analyze it too deeply, I start going off into this, B-list Tonga Room direction. But I think that, you know, we're going to save you the trouble anyway, because you're probably not going to be able to find this album anyway. I don't think it's really available streaming on any of the streaming services we found. I guess the only way you can really get any John Buzan is going to be on the Ultra Lounge albums.
Yeah, if you buy it on CD, and there's only maybe 3 or 4 tracks across the collection that are available on the Ultra Lounge. There's a version of Caravan, I Can't Believe That You're in Love with Me, and I think Squatty Roo is maybe on there also.
But, you know, they're definitely worth picking up, and I think you can listen to those on various streaming services. So, you know, not just the John Buzan Trio, which you can, you know, appreciate the bits and pieces that you hear in there, but definitely a lot of artists that are worth listening to on those albums.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like a mix of really familiar music and some harder to find artists like this one.
But I definitely feel fortunate in that, you know, our copy being a promo copy, you know, being owned by a family member, it's in excellent condition. So I feel lucky that, you know, even though this is sort of a hard to find artist, that we do have a copy of this album that is in really excellent condition.
Yep. But it brings a smile to my face every time.
All right. So if you want to learn more, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/12. You can follow us on Twitter at Living in Hi-Fi. You can be a fan of us on Facebook at facebook.com/livinginhifi. You can find images that we post on Instagram at Living in Hi-Fi. Or you can send us a longer correspondence to feedback@livinginhifi.com. Next week, we'll have something very special for you with some proto-disco. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.